What is Rick Bowness, coach, doing now with all this free time, or is it free time?
Well, right now we are visiting my son Ryan and his wife Vicky. They live in Scottsdale. So my wife Judy and I, we came over here last Wednesday to spend some time with them. They're expecting their first child end of June, so we're all very excited about that. Probably on the weekend, we're going to drive over to Denver. My son Ricky and his wife Jody live there, and she has a big job with the Avalanche. She's in their vice president ticket and suite sales, so I'll spend a couple of days with them. And then we'll probably head back to Dallas. But during all that, so we are doing some work. I've given all my coaches four or five teams to take a look at. We're just taking our time now and breaking down team by team, just things that they do, their tendencies, that we can implement in our game. As you know, this is a copycat league, very much a copycat league. So we're all just looking for little things that we can maybe implement into our game and help us become a better team. But as you know, in the regular season, we're doing a lot of pre-scouts. We're doing a lot of videotape on our own game, but it's always kind of you're in a rush and you're getting ready for the next game. Now with all this time in our hand, we can just take our time and just kind of slowly break down every individual team and, again, see if we can find a couple of things that will make us a better hockey club.
Bones, Ricky, we've been talking to we've been highlighting NHL coaches here on the show, and we ask a lot of them how they got started. So what was your first coaching? I mean, I've looked this up. I know the answer. But tell our listeners, what was your first coaching job?
Well, we go back a long time on that one, Berkey. So back in 1982, I would believe it was, I was with the Winnipeg Jet organization, and they had sent me down to Sherbrooke. They were the first year we were going to go to Sherbrooke in the American Hockey League. And I think I was 26 years old at the time. They had hired Ron Rossette, who was a very successful coach in the Quebec Junior League, and he was going to coach our team. But unfortunately for Ron, he had a brain tumor removed in July and was unable physically to start the season. So John Ferguson Sr. at the time was the general manager, and he asked me to become player coach for a couple of months. Well,
Reggie,
exactly right. So I said, sure, I'll try that. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I knew my playing career wasn't going to last much longer, so I knew I wanted to stay in the game, and I knew I wanted to get into coaching. So it was a good opportunity to put my foot in the door and see if I enjoyed it. So I did that for a couple of months. They came to me in December and said Ron was unable to finish the year. So I just finished the year as player coach. So it was quite an experience. And as little as I know now, I knew a lot less then. But it was quite an experience for me, and I certainly learned a lot about myself and the coaching.
And do you recall what you got paid? Do you recall what you got paid back then?
Well, let me see. I think it was around $40,000 as a minor league, and I was the captain of the team. I was probably the oldest guy in the team at that point. That's about $40,000. Hey, that was good money playing in the minors back then.
Yeah, it's more than the $10,000 I made back when I played the American League. I wasn't that far behind you either. It was 1977. Yeah.
And we were all thrilled to sign those contracts. As long as we had a chance to play and they were going to pay us, we were thrilled to take the money. Whatever they could give us, we would gladly sign those contracts and play.
And then where'd you go from there, Bones?
Well, the next year was 83, so I started the year. Ron came back and coached, and I was player assistant coach down there that year. And then in November of that year, the Winnipeg Jets fired Tom Watt, and they named Barry Long as the head coach. Barry had been scouting for Fergie up with the Jets, and Fergie and Barry they called me. They asked me if I wanted to retire. I think I was 27 or 28, and come up to Winnipeg as an assistant coach. And that was in the middle of November. And I had a good conversation with my wife, Judy. I called my dad. We talked it out. And we said, sure. So if we're going to coach, and I knew the playing career again was winding down a lot quicker because I wasn't a very good player. But anyway, so we jumped at it. And I guess in the back of my mind, even then, I was only 28. And if it didn't work out, I figured I could go back and play in the minors for a few more years. But So I was 28. I went to Winnipeg as an assistant coach. Some of the players were older than I was. But we got through it, and we're still at it today. So I've been very, very fortunate. A lot of moves along the way, but a lot of great times, met a lot of great people, and I've never looked back once and regretted the decision to retire when I did and get into the coaching ranks.
Sorry, I just got a text from Adam Henrik, who said to say hello. He was a former teammate of your son, Ryan, there. People may not know that Ryan's the director of scouting, pro scouting in Pittsburgh. Does he have any aspirations to get into coaching like yourself, or is he trying to stay on the managerial side? What is his aspirations?
Well, listen, he's a lot smarter than his father. He's staying in management. He's not touching this coaching ring. No, Ryan's got a great future ahead of him. The thing I love about my kids, and they've all been involved in the National Hockey League. My daughter still works for the Tampa Bay Lightning. My oldest son, Ricky, worked for the Detroit Red Wings and the Columbus Blue Jackets in their media relations department. But hockey is the only life they know. And it's not a life that you want to take a 15-year-old and throw them into it, and with your dad traveling and everything that comes with being involved in the National Hockey League. International Hockey League and pro hockey is the only life my kids know. And Ryan is he's a lot like I am. He has a tremendous passion for the game. And when Ryan was a kid, I'd bring him to the rink with me, and he'd be running into the locker room with the trainers and doing the laundry and hanging out the socks and the sweaters and everything. So Ryan has a true passion for the game, which I love. I've always told my kids this, you know, I don't care what you do, but whatever you do, love what you're doing. So when you wake up in the morning, you can't wait to get to work. And Ryan's got the same passion for the game that I have. He's just a lot smarter than I am. He will stay in management. His career aspirations are he wants to be a general manager, and he's taken the right steps. And he worked for the Jets for 6-7 years, had a great experience there. He now worked for Jimmy Rutherford and the Pittsburgh Penguins for 3 years. He won a Stanley Cup with them in 2017. So, he's on a different career path than I am. But the most important thing for me is that he loves it. He wants to be a general manager, but he has that passion for the game that you want your kids to have, if that's what they're going to pursue with their life.
You guys should know that Bones rented my townhouse in Vancouver when he's an assistant coach with the Canucks, and he wrecked my satellite system. He still hasn't paid the bill.
Well, you know what? That's why we have video coaches. I should have brought the video coach over.
I had Satellite Sandy.
None of us are smart enough to figure all that on our own. Yeah. Now we have video coaches.
We had Satellite Sandy was the guy that came and did all the satellite work, but I remember after he moved out, he came over, he's like, what on earth happened here? I think we're using the U.S. dish or something.
If I couldn't figure it out and you couldn't figure it out, that must have been a very complicated system.
I agree.
Indeed. Being joined by interim head coach of the Dallas Stars, Rick Bowness. I want to ask about a young Rick Bowness growing up in Moncton, New Brunswick. And correct me if I'm wrong, huge fan of Stan Mikita. Tell us about young Rick Bowness.
Well, I was born in Moncton. I only lived there for a couple of years, but then we moved to Halifax. In that era, my dad was, he would sign up the Montreal Canadiens when he was in his early 20s. But anyways, he was playing senior hockey down there. And in those days, there's 4 or 5 teams that get you a day job and then you play hockey for them at night. So I was born in January when Dad was playing for the Moncton Hawks in the old Maritime Senior Hockey League. And then we moved back to Halifax. So I was raised in Halifax. But, yeah, I just remember as a kid reading a story about Stan Mikita, how he had come over from Czechoslovakia as a kid, not speaking our language in Canada, and all the fighting he had to get through just to get through school. And then all the hardships he faced as a hockey player, and just admiring him from going from one of the most penalized guys in the league to all of a sudden he's on the Lady Bing and Art Ross. So if you looked at his life and the things that he overcame to become an elite player and a Hall of Famer in the National Hockey League, it was quite a story. And I think I read that when I was like 12 or 13 or something, and it just stuck with me that, man, that guy overcame an awful lot. There's a guy that had tremendous passion for the game, believed in his abilities, had a goal in mind, and just overcame everything that was in his way. He overcame everything to make sure to get to the National Hockey League. So I always admired the character in Stan Mikita And then as you grow old and you watch him play and the skill level and how smart he was and what a great player he was, then that stuff sticks with you as well.
We were talking in hour one before you came on about the Dallas Stars, your squad, and one of the players we circled around was Denis Gurianov. We've talked a lot about Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and John Klingberg and the like, and the two goaltenders. But what should we know about Denis Gurianov? Because I'll tell you, Rick, every time that Brian and I would do a game on Wednesday night and your team would be involved, that was the guy that sort of jumped out of the game at you and you said, hold on a second, who's 34 on the green team?
Yeah, Denis is a very interesting prospect, and it's his first full year in our league. This guy has world-class speed. He is an elite skater, and it's powerful. And he reminds you sometimes going down the ring of Glenn Anderson and the fact that he's not afraid to go down the wing full speed and cut to the net. He's fearless that way, and he scores an awful lot of goals on the rush because of his skating. All we keep telling him is that there's people in your way, just sit behind them and go get it because you're going to outskate them. It's world-class speed, elite skater, powerful. He's certainly a potential 30-40 goal scorer. Again, he's figuring out the league, you know, what he can do and what he can't do. He's got a tremendous future ahead of him. He is a huge bright spot for our – I know we're going to take a lot of criticism for our lack of offense, but he is a huge bright spot for us. Both he and Rupe have helped us get through a lot of games by scoring big goals. But he scores highlight reel goals, and that's why you're noticing him. And even when he does his court, you're noticing his incredible speed and power going down the wing. And it's both sides. It's not just right wing or left wing. He can score off of either wing coming down. He's got a great backhander that you don't see a lot anymore in our league, but he's got great speed. He's a left-hand shot coming down that right side, and he's not afraid to fire that thing top shelf short side. But great upside, great kid. A real student of the game. He never kills penalties. But every time I run a penalty killing meeting, he is the first guy in there because he just wants to learn. And it's just a great kid. He's got a great future ahead of him. And just he's fun to watch. When he and Rupe Hintz get to him and they're flying out there, they're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there's lots of weapons on your team. That's we were talking about you before we came. Had our guest on today, we were talking about your team and how I felt from the start of the year. There were only two elite teams in the West, you and St. Louis. I've added Vegas to that group since the deadline. I think the additions they made make them an elite team. And I know you've been scuffling a little bit lately, but I like your team, and I hope we get a chance to see you again soon.
Well, certainly. We hope to get back at it. I know we struggled with that last week, but when we were struggling, we had a great month of February. We were 9-3-3 with 11 of those games on the road. We came out into March, and all of a sudden the offense just completely dried up. And it wasn't that we were playing poorly. We did play, did not have a good game our last game against the New York Rangers. But the other games, we had certainly had far more scoring chances than the opposition. So you walk out of those games saying, could we have got a win? Could we have got a point? And the answer to that was absolutely yes. The Ranger game, no, we did not deserve a game. But our offense is inexplicably just dried up. But we have full faith in our team. We're confident that once we get back on the ice, and we're all hoping that's going to happen sooner than later, then we'll get going again and start playing like we did again in February. Like, we've been a top-10 team in this league all year. And you know better than anyone, Berkey, you can't win the playoffs without playing good defense, regardless. And we've been in the top 1, 2, or 3 in the goals against all year. We've got the goaltending, we've got the team defense down, and once we get this offense on track a little bit better, then, yeah, we're very excited about getting back on the ice.
You mentioned the goaltending, and that might be the best duo in the NHL. I personally thought it was last season and right back again this season, Rick. Anton Khudobin and Ben Bishop. How does the coach handle these two goalies?
Well, I've got a great goaltending coach in Jeff Freese. that's a big start. And he's got a great rapport with both of them, and he's got a great feel for them. And you're right about last year. If you go back to last year, we don't make the playoffs without Khudobin because Bish was hurt a lot and he missed a lot of games. Khudobin stepped up and played fantastic. And both of those guys this year have been very, very consistent. So we've got the goaltending. Our players have full confidence in both goaltenders. And they, again, sometimes, like in Bish, we need to rest Bish. We have absolutely no hesitance to throw in Lindell because he's a tremendous competitor. Two totally different goaltenders. Analytically, sure. Bish wants to know everything. Bish wants to look at video, wants to break down things. Far more analytical than Domi. Domi's just a competitive guy. He just wants to get in there and work and do everything he can to stop the puck. So two totally different personalities, two totally different approaches. But the players love playing them both in front of both of them, and they both have been fantastic for us, and they are a big reason where we finished last year and where we are this year, without a doubt. We do feel we have the best duo in the league in those two guys.
And one of them is 6'7", and the other is 5'10". It's outstanding. It's the extremes with the goaltenders in Dallas. Rick, wish we had more time. Always appreciate you joining us. Listen, we all hope that we get back to hockey sooner than later, but whatever happens, be safe, enjoy the family, and we'll catch up down the road.
Always a pleasure talking to you guys. Have a great day, guys.